Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Wow, praise the Lord. You all look good from where I'm standing. Yes, greet your neighbor on my behalf. Hallelujah. And let us go ahead and appreciate the worship team for the fantastic job they keep doing Sunday in, Sunday out, Thursday in, Thursday out. Hallelujah. I also received a message this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read it, hoping that we shall get some time and we pray about it, since we even have the numbers today. Amen. This concerns all of us. It says, beloved gatekeepers, I'll just say beloved believers, we are called urgently with the frontline brothers in the defense of the anti-homosexual bill, passed bill, challenged in High Court of Uganda. The hearing starts this early October. We are requested to back up our brothers with prayers and fasting, running from Monday, that is tomorrow, 23rd, to 25th October, all over the body of Christ in Uganda. Please, this is what really caught my attention also. NB, inform every serious gatekeeper or every serious believer to participate, and we only have 3 days to do this. Glory to God. We have 3 days. We have an opportunity. Don't mind about the 3 days. We have an opportunity, glory to God, to pray. And again, it says, I request and also hope that this Sunday, every church in our nation will at least take a few minutes in prayer over this matter. Glory to God. Yes. So, you know, if even the recruitment of lesbians or gay people or this sector of this segment of people is happening within us and even outside there, then it's a call to pray. Glory to God. It's a call for us to pray. Again, we have just 3 days, but it's a great opportunity. I believe that in 3 days, something great will happen, because all over the country, churches are praying, and we are going to join them. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Today I'm going to talk about something that, first of all, I'm so glad about the testimonies that have been shared here, particularly Christine's testimony about children. And I thought today I'll be preaching about parenting and what God expects us to do as parents. But as I continued thinking and seeking God about it, I felt that no, instead of talking about parenting, I felt God leading me to where it all starts from, where it all begins. Because parenting is just a small thing of the bigger picture, okay? So today I'm going to talk about something that I believe is a message for all women that every man should hear. Praise the Lord. All women, all ladies, that this message is yours, all ladies, in ministry, out of ministry, single, not single, this message is yours. But this message is also for all men to hear. Glory to God. And I believe that a time is going to come when the only hope for marriage we have, or the future for marriage that will be existing at that point, will be dependent on what we preach on our pulpits concerning what I'm going to talk about. And right now, it's not a popular subject, by the way. And the times I've talked about it, I have made a few enemies. Some people have come and have told me, but Joe, I need to behave, yeah? But I'm going to just stand here today, and I hope to make more enemies, because we're not going to compromise, amen? So today I'm going to talk about submission in marriage. Glory to God. I see someone is smiling at the back. Glory to God, people at the back. Amen. Okay? So let us go to where it all started from. I made these notes in a very weird way, not the usual preparation, that I subject myself to, because things just kept on showing up and coming to my mind. And so the order of my notes is a bit jumbled, but I'm going to power through it. Glory to God. Amen. Ephesians 5, 21 to 25. Ephesians chapter 5:21-25. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Glory to God. That is our main scripture for today. So here we are told, Paul is telling the church in Ephesus, 21. Start from 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We know that in the Garden of Eden, where does a man get his authority from? When God created Adam, he created Adam first. That is basic. Ha. You know, I've actually remembered that. Sam told me over the weekend that whatever is obvious to you may not be obvious to other people, yeah? So in the Garden of Eden, God gives Adam dominion and authority to tend the garden and to keep it. Then later, as you go on reading, you discover that, or as you know, we are here for a reason, that God made Eve our grandmother, okay? God made Eve. And together he tells them, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion over it together. Okay? So we see that in the beginning, even if God doesn't call the man and tells him, you come and I'm going to make for you Eve, you're going to be his head, you can see that actually he gives him authority over Eden and everything else in that garden. Now, I believe that Eve, even if she came from his rib, his body, she was also part of the Eden that he was supposed to tend and keep. Amen? So, we see that from the onset, God gives man a level of authority. Amen? And many times, like when I was saying that right now this topic is not popular, I have seen that every time you talk about submission, a wife submitting, first of all, even you coming out of your mouth, you need Christine's kind of courage when you're with your fellow women, okay? You probably get many cheers from men, but when you're with your fellow women, they will interrogate you, Chicho Otegeza, what do you mean, yeah? About a month ago or two, I met some friends of mine. We are age mates. And they were talking about men and women, of course, as usual, a husband and wife. But I looked around me and the conversation that was going on, and I realized, you know, when someone says, imagine you have your stress and the guman at home, yeah? Imagine when you and the guman and your good friend and this the stress factor. I realized there was a lot of negativity, yeah? I'm like, but you guys, so I'm like, do I keep quiet? Do I say? Then one of my friends remembered that I'm a pastor. And that lady always remembers those things at the wrong time. So of course she sees that I'm outnumbered. And she said, now you guys keep quiet. When we're pastor, there is a pastor here, just keep quiet. And I'm like, yeah, you had better shut it up because I'm going to tell you to go back and submit to your husbands. The moment I mentioned submit, you guys, people now stopped, as in it all just came down on me. If it was that UN conference that Christine went for, they would have thrown me out. First air ticket, they would have just thrown me out, yeah? But I'm like, yeah, just keep quiet So, of course, they kept quiet. But interestingly, we got to a topic of parenting. And now, my friends who are saying the guman, they got stuck. Because now they got into this conversation of, should you be a friend to your child or not? Should you be a friend to your child? At what stage are you a friend to your child? And so now they started saying, you know, the men had their titles. Anyway, for me, my husband, he's the one who manages some of these things. And I'm like, okay, you guys, what are you trying to say? So they tried to, now, when it came to talking about parenting, now the husband comes in, but not in relation to themselves. It is in relation to the children. He does his part. I also do my part. But for us here in LAT, we believe that the structure in a family, in marriage, was given to us a long time ago. And God knew that 2023 would be here. God knew that there would be an LGBTQ and whatever other alphabetical order, whatever, you know, the letters, whatever is there. He knew that those people would be there. But he gave us the principle about how marriage should be. And I could have started with men, but I'm like, let me talk to the ladies and I get it out of there. So next time I come here, you guys will like me. Glory to God. Yeah, you guys will like me. So from that conversation, as you've all heard, there is a lot of misconceptions about headship or leadership in a home and submission in a home, okay? And there are so many. For example, some people think that generally women should submit to men, generally. Women should, and that is where those things, that is where the problem starts. When you start to say, generally, mwena because you should submit to men, now the extreme feminists come up. And I had an opportunity of meeting one 2 weeks ago. I'd gone to this person, a lady, to ask her to do some work with me. And as we got talking, she says, by the way, I'm a very radical feminist, as in approach with caution, After she saw that I'm a pastor, what at us, telling her, for me, I don't want this, I think we should do this, well, and then I told her my religious beliefs. She's like, by the way, I'm a radical feminist, So. When someone says so, you're like, got you, yeah? So, we didn't talk about marriage. She's single. We didn't talk about marriage, but I knew why she is married. She's single. So anyway, there is a common misconception that generally, women should submit to all men. But Ephesians 5:22 tells us that you, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Your own husband, meaning this is the main subject, yeah? Here. The word own gives the subject of the statement. So, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we see that is a misconception, first of all. You don't expect me to submit to someone who is not my husband. And that goes for many people who get married. For example, whether you marry a woman, she becomes your wife, but you want her to submit to the entire liturgy of the men in your clan. Your uncle, your what? I married you. So you have to submit to all of us. That is wrong. And those are the things that make women bitter. You know? Because you married me, but you have to submit to your father your brother, your who. And unfortunately, some cultures promote it. You find a woman in, and I'm not going to say that culture, but you find the tribe. You find a woman is being called Muchala Wange, Muchala Wafe. No, but also Muchala Wange because I got married to your brother. So I become Muchala Wange. Like, I'm like, no, I am not. Yeah? It's very, very wrong. And if you're here and you know that you belong to that culture, please, stand for righteousness. Hallelujah. Stand for righteousness. Say Ono Wange. Glory to God. Yes, because tomorrow it's going to be your daughter who will be called that, yeah? And I also lived one time with a relative who was married to that someone from that tribe, and man, the guy would come back. I remember, I think, as in S. No, I'll not say. But yes, I would come back. The guy would enter the house and say, Bachala bangi, bachala bangi. Now the person, you know, these are things that I'm like, but really, yeah? He would say, Bachala bangi. So he greets his wife, who was my relative. Yeah? So you can imagine we're of the same tribe with a wife. And then he says, Olio mchala wangu mlala aliwa. Yes. And then I would come, and then he would greet me. But because he was so traditional, my relative had told me, you have to greet from there. Because these things of mchala wange. Also, how she was not what? Comfortable. So in a way of gazetting, she says, you greet from there. You guys are like, the fridge would be there, and I would kneel at the fridge like this and greet my husband then. Okay? So it's really bad. Yeah? It's really, really bad. And we shouldn't really encourage some of these things. Even on your introductions, this business of saying abachala bafewano, eh? Please. And that is why you say my person. Because pastor knows I don't like to be called person in the place of my wife, my sweetheart, my what. But I don't like, so if you'd call me bachala bafe, wano, bachala bomunyu, bachala bafe wano, I just really, really don't like that stuff. But also, you know that it perpetrates a certain negative spirit. And this spirit will come upon your daughters. They'll go into marriage knowing that bachala babantu. Before you know it, ye women are for sharing. You've heard those talks before. Mm-hmm. Again, another misconception is that submission means total obedience in everything. When every time, and these are things that make submission very unpopular because we misunderstand them. When someone says submit to your husband, that means I have to agree to everything he says. Total obedience. Like, seriously? But let's go to Colossians 3:18. Women, here, I'm arming you by the way. Next time, these are the verses you should pull out. Wives, submit your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You guys, we have to love Jesus Christ. Amen? Someone has done this at the back. Yes, submit to your husbands as far as it is fitting to the Lord. The reason why we read Ephesians 21, not just 22, was it says, both of you submitting to the Lord. Then it goes on to say, wives. All right? So, your submission, first of all, should come from your submission to your husband, should come from you submitting to Christ and everything that he says. All right? And then after that, you can submit to your husband as fitting in the Lord. Now, as fitting in the Lord also has been abused. Because now someone says, as fitting in the Lord, this is feeding. Give us the scripture. As fitting in the Lord gave us the scripture for these things. Scriptures for whatever you're disagreeing about. Bring out the scripture and say, but you're telling me to go and do this. Why? You know, this is not biblical. All right? So, your obedience should be as far as Christ. Like, imagine, ask yourself, would this make God happy? Then another misconception we have is that every time you hear the word submit, wives, you look at it like someone is telling you to be inferior to the other person, to be a servant to the other person. It just brings such a bad taste to your mouth, like submit, yeah? Submit, you're like, now that means that I'm inferior. The other person is over me, he's ahead. But let us go to Galatians 3:28. The Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So when it comes to the issue of submission, you know that before Christ, yeah, there is no spouse who is better than the other before Christ. On judgment day, we shall not have lines for men, lines for women. You young people who are here, eh? Mwine. We shall all be there. Maybe you'll be before me, I'm behind you, but we shall be in the line. So there's nothing like, women, come here. Men, make your line there. Children, no. On judgment day, we shall all stand before God. We are all heirs of Christ. When Jesus Christ was, the Bible says that he died for mankind, not for men that they should be more special or spouses that they should be more special. So in terms of you feeling inferior to your husband because you have been told to submit, that is a wrong misconception. And you have to correct it. Glory to God. It doesn't make you less to submit. It does not make you less in any way. It doesn't make you inferior. It doesn't make you a doormat. The Bible says, God said, let me make for him a helper. Not a doormat. Not something that is inferior to him. First of all, there is nothing that God made that was inferior. Nothing. Even the fish, by the way. Even the pigs we eat, they are not inferior. They are God's creation, glory to God, in their own respect. All right? So there is nothing inferior. Like, you are not made, women here, as in this is where your worth should come from. You are not made with, like, you are not made with perishable things. Like, don't look at yourself as, for me, about what. And you know what? There are many times in this society, of course, women have been made to feel a certain way, granted, because they have been stepped on, culture, it's a man's world, it's a patriarchal society, and all those things, we know them. But you see, you as a Christian, your identity comes from who you really, really are. Glory to God. So when you are told to submit, that shouldn't shake your identity. Man, someone has never told me submit to me, but I can be there in submission. Nenga neulida, nenga I'm submitting, yeah? Nenga I'm confident, she comfy, but yeah. Yeah? Submission is not going to make me feel any more inferior, like any inferior to some. Why? Because for me, my identity, I know Jesus Christ died for me. God made me, yeah? So, and I'm special, I'm awesome in his, in. If he felt I was worth being died for, who are you? You see, you are a child of God. And so women, especially when they feel inferior, it's because they have a self-esteem issue that needs to be corrected just a bit. Amen? Amen. So let us look at one of the origins, something that I came across. Yeah? Then, this is what happens when you write everything everywhere. Yeah? Yes. So, the devil, the reason why I can't really talk about parenting is that the devil has in many ways tried and is still trying to attack marriages through roles. Mixing up the roles, changing the roles, causing spouses to be at extremes. Or even some spouses totally leaving their roles, all right? I've seen, like, because of this LGBTQ thing, I have seen many men now crying out a lot that they are being emasculated. Who has had that? Every time you read stuff, Brand has had it. Men are complaining that they're not feeling men anymore, that they have been stripped of all their authority. And guess what? Women, we are there. Eh? And we are there doing all these roles. Why? Because of the LGBTQ thing. Yeah, I know of some lady at university, a full professor. My friend, she has graced rooms that many of us haven't graced. But you know why? Because she is fluid in her, in the way she looks at. First of all, she's a radical feminist, but she's also fluid in the way she looks at some of these things. So this lady, and this is where now they even get our children. This lady teaches, she's a professor at Macquarie University. You find her at LDC, you know, FIDA calls her every time they have an issue. She is the one there to fight for women's rights and all these things. But when it comes to submission, even when you look at her, there is a way in which she looks like a man, yeah? Like she, the hairstyle, the way she walks, what? And no wonder when we have so many of those in our midst, men will start to feel like, hey, today, this person wants to look like me, yeah? But because she is that kind of, in everything she says by the about men, even the way she raises her children, the time she was saying, for me, I'm raising my children in a gender neutral, yes, thank you, in a gender-neutral environment that they should choose for themselves when they grow up what to become. Yeah? Eh! And then she's like, but should my daughter choose to be a woman? Should my daughter choose to be a woman? Then she should know that she can still have the rights and what everything that a man actually has. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm even confused. Yeah, when I was watching her on TV, I said, but now here this person. But guess what? Oh, you're not really on top of education in this country. And she's bringing up so many young girls and so many single women. All right? Mm-hmm. Then you see, sometimes, of course, you don't blame some women feeling a certain way about submission. Why? Because of what has been modeled in their past experiences. Unfortunately, many people, the average African family, women have not had good examples of fathers or mothers submitting. To the extent that sometimes when you talk to the older women, waliyabo ngabasufu nyo. They saw musajja bwabikugamba. They don't promote that, you know, an attitude of submission. They say, no, do your own things, have your own word, do your own, make your own decisions. You have a mind, you have a brain, use it. You went to school, you what? But all that is in the attitude of you being not submissive. For us, we call it, I remember the word, it's obgomi, eh? Like in our, yes, praise, like obgomi in your heart, like, yeah? So, people haven't had very good experiences. And also, the ones who have had maybe some experiences, they have been taken for granted. Let us just, for a moment, let me first pack the women. Men, yeah? Men. Sometimes, men have not done their roles justice. When a woman is submissive, they have taken, like, remember the experience I gave you from my friend? They have been taken advantage of. And over the years of counseling, 16 years, by the way, I have seen how control and being a man who abuses his place of authority in a home, how it can literally destroy the home, destroy the children, and destroy the individuality of a woman. I have seen that. 16 years, there are people who got married around about the same time as Sam and I. These were vivacious ladies, young ladies like myself, young men like Sam at that time. But man, you, 10 years into the marriage, this guy who was your friend, who was, hey, come, whatever, he becomes a monster. And then the girl who was your friend, who was so, you know, loving, carefree, nice, now she starts to shrink and she becomes something else. After 10 years, you look at the people who are your friends and you can barely, like, recognize them, yeah? So, I've also seen that, and that really doesn't do any justice. And that is why when you talk about submission across, by the way, the spectrum concerning marriage, ladies will be like, I need God to first tell me something. I need God to first tell me something. But what is the definition of true submission? True submission is a divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership as given to him by God, and carry it through according to the gift and the grace upon her life. This essentially just means you're supposed to be a helper. Help the man to be the leader. Glory to God. This is the place of submission. It is for you to help this man to be a leader, to exercise the authority that was delegated to him. I remember, this authority came from God. Amen? So, I thought that we should go into what happened at the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? Genesis 3:16. Let's look at some of one of these consequences. And this is where I think sometimes we get a problem. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. This is when after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit. So now God is telling them the consequences of their sin. So he said, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. When you look at this verse, of course you're thinking, your desire shall be for your husband. First value, these people are married, remember. So when they talk about desire, it cannot be physical. They are married already. All people, you understand that, yeah? So when now God tells Eve that your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you, what does that mean? Isn't that a bit confusing? Yeah, you're like, what wasn't there before anyway? What wasn't there? Yeah? But let us get some help from Genesis 4:7 to understand. It's going to help us understand this verse. So now, God is telling Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. I wished we could like display both scriptures on one slide. Now, when it says its desire, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Remember that what God tells Eve, that your desire shall be for your husband. Then here he says, and its desire, sin's desire, is for you. Okay? So I was actually, I remember understanding this scripture a long time ago. Later, I realized that, oh, okay. First of all, these scriptures are in succession of each other. Yeah? But also, the way, let's first explain the bit of the desire, sin wanting to rule over Cain. That is what it means here. Sin is at the door and it wants to rule over you. It wants to get you, subvert you, and it's an evil desire. All right? Now, when we go back to Genesis 3:16, when God tells Eve that your desire shall be for your husband, that means that, similar to what he told Cain, this desire is an evil desire that wants to subvert the authority of the man. But then he tells him what he told Cain, but you shall rule over it. Glory to God. So we see that even in the fall, God still wants, he still wants things in order. Glory to God. And this, by the way, this is not a curse. It's a consequence of what happened. When you read this verse, it doesn't say that God willed that the woman should, her sorrow in childbirth would be multiplied. No, it is simply a consequence. This cause, you sinned, and this is what is going to happen to you. So it doesn't show anywhere. When I read it in my understanding, it doesn't say that God willed it. No, it was simply a consequence of what Eve had done. So now he says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Again, it simply meant that it wasn't the normal desire, the usual desire that we know, because that was already there. It simply meant that evil desire to usurp the husband's authority, but or subdue, pastor say to subdue or subvert, yeah, that authority. Okay? But he says, God tells him what to do. Just like he told Cain, you shall rule over it. You shall have authority over it. Amen? Is that clear? No? Pastor, me, I don't understand people this morning. Yeah. So, sin sought to overtake and subvert Cain. And in the fallen world, the woman will seek to overpower and subvert God's given authority. And this, again, like I said, it's a consequence. But again, a man should rule over his wife in an appropriate, gentle way. When it talks about ruling here, unfortunately, it's not the rule of Cain. It is still godly ruling. It is gentle. Glory to God, men. It is, you don't go pounding on your wife and say, bakungambie, bakungambie. You want to subvert me. So you come down heavily with a what? A pounding. No. God still expects men, because he tells them how. God still expects men to rule with gentleness, to rule with love and understanding. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Wives, we are going to submit. The devil has really been at war to try and change the order of things. And he knows that when you change the order of things in a marriage, you are going to hit so much. You'll hit the children. You'll hit a lot just by changing that order. Amen. And ladies, let me tell you something that will sort us out very quickly. Something that always I use to help me. Because, you know, submission is a lifelong thing. Yeah. As we submit to Christ, you can't say I submitted in 2020. I queued in my submission and that's it. Every day you wake up to submit. Every day you wake up to submit as the man also wakes up to lead. So you, as he wakes up to lead, you also wake up to help him to lead. Remember, you're the helper. So as you move submit, you help him to lead and fulfill that destiny together. Amen? So, I realized that the grace to lead is not given to women. Glory to God. First of all, it is very difficult to lead. It is so, so difficult to lead human beings. Yeah? It is difficult to lead human beings. So the grace to lead has been given. That grace for leadership has been given to men. And at times, honestly, I have tried to do it. I have ended up messing things up. Yet, when Sam messes things up, he seems to have a lot more grace than me. That is for me the way I look at it. Even from the small things. For example, you're driving. You tell Sam. He's not driving. You tell him, Sam, let us pass here. There is no jam. Sam says, no, me, I'm going to pass here. I'm like, Sebo, voila. He's like, me, I'm going to pass here. That day, he passes there, and you find jam. God will not even allow that. So immediately, like a jam clears. As you're starting, banange jam, the jam clears. What were you saying? Yeah? Now, when I insist, or when I'm the one driving, I say, but wait, I've told you, let's pass here. Banange, we shall be hit by jam. Even, you know, you drive and you're just, thank God for big specs, because you just use this car corner to see the reflection of your friend. You're not even looking, eh? You're all there. And then he's like, thank God he's a man of few words, but I know he has so many in his head. So he has so many in his head that maybe even sometimes they come out a lot later. Yeah. So I've realized that some, like, from just simple things like those, eh? Leadership. And I've used that example just to show you a little bit of leadership, yeah? So it's amazing that men, even when they err in their judgment, they, because of that office of leadership, they have grace. There is a certain grace that covers maybe you, even the entire family. You try to subvert that position, you will go through consequences and consequences and consequences, yeah? And I've seen that, and that is why many times I'm like, you know what? Okay, God, I don't understand this, but I don't want the consequences of making a bad decision. So I get it off myself, yeah? And so when that bad decision is made, I'm like, it was you, it wasn't me. So sort it out with the Lord, amen? Yeah, sort it out with the Lord. And usually, like I said, there is grace. There is grace that comes, even when it is a bad idea. But now there's a way in which God can clear that path for men. Eh? Yet you do it in disobedience, in what, man? You will face so many, I don't even know, but if you knew. Anyway, that comes from also having tried out my hand at that and I failed. So I'm just telling you so that you don't, yeah. So anyway, so we're still talking about submission. So women, God can never tell us to do something that is detrimental to who we are, to you as a Christian. So let us start from knowing that the reason why we should submit to God is because it is God's will. And you had rather submit to your husband and error than walk out of submission and you fall in error. You see, God won't cover you. Tewalias, like Brian says, tewalia atasa. I'm telling you. For the things, and sometimes you're like, maybe Anyway, our basamabo, those ones are the fit ones to be submitted to. The Lord have mercy. Submission was never meant to be given to perfect human beings. Right there in the Garden of Eden, that man even had fallen. They had all both sinned. But God says, no, you shall still what? In his sinful state. God still reinstates and says, no, he will still be the head. Do you see? Yeah? So don't think that when people submit, or there are some people here who make submission look easy. But, and you're like, maybe anyway, Baba in into it. But let me tell you, it's daily dying. You go to God and you say, God, I am doing this for you. You know? It's because you have told me to do it. Not even because of son, not because he requires it and he's forcing me. And you see, when you're submitted to God, like we said in Ephesians 5:21, when you are submitted to Christ, submission to a human being becomes much easier. Because first of all, you're submitted to a Christ you've never seen. You're submitted to a Christ who is not going to give you silent treatment if you don't. You're submitted to Christ who is not going to say, I'm not even going to pick you. Yeah, if you don't do what I told you to do, find your way home. Or you're not submitted to a Christ who will tell you, what are the other things that sometimes men do? No, he doesn't do them. That's why I'm asking the rest of you. Muba mukolachi, you men who are here, what are those good things that you do? Kale kamuleke, 20 more minutes in the rain, yeah? She will find her way. Yeah? Then sometimes, nasibe mitafu. Not talking to you. What you know, when you're submitted to Christ, submitting to a human being becomes easy. Glory to God, women. Yes, wives, it becomes much easier. When you have issues with him, you can go and report to a higher authority. You can go to a court of high appeal. Yeah, and you just say, you know what? God, this person here, me, I don't understand them. And God will sort you out. So first of all, it is a commandment. It is for us. And also when you understand that this is the order that God gave us in marriage, a lot is at stake. Praise the Lord, wives. Praise the Lord, women. From our submission, a lot is at stake. By the way, because submitting is so difficult, it is a place of strength. It takes a very strong person to actually submit willingly. Hallelujah. So if we don't submit, you know that your children will be on the front line. Someone else will come and teach them stuff. If you know that the devil will come for you, you know a lot is at stake through if we don't submit to our husbands. That is the order that God gave us. Amen? So, let us look at some of the practical ways of working out submission in our lives. Remember, I said that submission is a lifelong thing. So you can't say, I've been married for 16 years. I submitted in the 7th year. In the submission, you can't say that. You're going to wake up even at 60. When I'm 60 and I'm gray, yeah? Even when I'm 70. As long as I have a husband, even me, I'll still keep what? Submitting to that man. Even if he has no teeth, I'll still yewange, that is the husband, and I have to keep submitting to the toothless man. Glory to God. He's my person. He is my person. So because you understand that you're in this for the long haul, you work it out. Glory to God. And you see, when you have just gotten married, you have a lot that takes you along. But as you grow on in marriage, as the marriage matures and ages, those things that were carrying, you know, say, yeah, they start falling off. They start falling off. And now you're really tested. If you're the rubber, you'll be put to the what? To the road. Yeah? So that is why you need to continuously practice, do things, involve your, like, work on your attitude of submission to your husband. It does not come easy to submit. It doesn't come easy. But with God, we know he could never have told us to do something that is not possible. So, let's look at some of the practical ways. Things that I've done over the years, things that my friends have shared. We have even shared them in the marriage fellowship about practical, like, how do you submit? How do you keep within the confines of submission? All right? The first thing I said, ask God for help. The second thing, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. We are called to do exactly that. There is no way you can spend the whole day thinking about how annoying your husband is, how annoying your spouse is, how he is so fake compared to other people. Takuwa sente. You're thinking all the wrong things and you expect that submission is going to come easy. You have to train yourself. Glory to God. Whatever we put in our minds or in our hearts helps us on how we act. So try. I remember it was Dr. Mwesigwa who talked about due benevolence. I think that was the first time I heard him explain that. Dr. Richard Mwesigwa. Exercise due benevolence towards your spouse. Just meaning, think good thoughts about them. Glory to God. Such that when it comes to submission, it is very easy. I have realized that the things that if you spend a long time thinking about all the wrong things that this imperfect spouse of yours has done, the harder it will be to submit to them when they tell you to do things that are not, you know, things that you don't really like. And sometimes, how do these thoughts come? The things we read, yeah? You spend the whole time on social media reading memes that are bashing men. There is a time the first lady mentioned something in this country that we left the men to what? To do what? Man, that... I've never seen memes like that, yeah? She didn't even mean it in that way. But man, they bashed, they showed men, twabale kada, what men doing fake things, eh? Twabale kada, and every picture or every video would come up. It was a man doing something fake. You guys, if you spend time, yeah? Putting those things in your head, watching them, you're going to start looking at people as fake. So, ladies, let us, wives, practice good thoughts towards your spouses. The books you read, those feminist books, self-care, what? Be very careful. Therein is a very subtle agenda that will shift you slowly and slowly. You're like, but what's wrong with caring about myself? Let me tell you, I've heard those things because I talk to you and I talk to Christians. Yeah? I spend most of my time talking to Christians. So some of these things I hear and I share with you here, they come from Christians. Fellow sisters. Nzene, namu parkings olwalero, namu parkings. Yeah? Nzebanang. It's time for self-care. Yeah? And in this meeting, they were talking about, actually, remember the meeting I went for where this lady always remembers that I'm a pastor. So there is a young lady who is born again, and she released a video encouraging women to have what are gazetted spaces in their homes just for themselves to come and sit and release the stress. Now I watched that video because it went around, and in the video, she shows you how to do it. She enters a sitting room, sets up a corner for herself, yeah? And in that corner, when she's stressed, she comes and she sits in the corner. And she just, now, when we're meeting those friends of mine, they were like, yeah, now you see, sometimes when I stress, it's just too much and we need to what? We need to create these spaces in our homes. Then I'm like, but what is the origin of this? And I realized that the origin, when I even watched it, I realized the origin came from the thing called man cave. As a man has his cave, also a woman has her, she should have her space where she can retreat. And she, you know, she sits down and what? Then now I started asking them, but what is the practicality of what this, Okujako just wanting to remain relevant. What is the practicality of what she's talking about? How many people in our age group have those homes where you can go and sit and then you, woo, sir. Like, I'm like, you should tell people to pray, yeah? How about creating a great environment in your whole home? Why does it have to be in a cave or in a corner, yeah? So, but these guys were saying, yeah, in fact, right now, I want someone to come and design for me that space. I told them I'm not among the people designing such spaces. I don't design men caves. I don't design women, whatever, those spaces. I design homes that will create experiences. And that's what I was trying to, you know, I was trying to market to them. They're like, "Kakati go toja kuntegera." I'm like, if you're really, really stressed, take your stress out of home, yeah? Kampala has many roads you can drive on or you can walk and the stress will go. But don't dare gazette your home like that. Yeah? And I was so like really surprised when she was a Christian. You know, that is what really made me angry. I don't know if she still is. But I don't know. Because by the time you say such things, and unfortunately people follow. And because she's calling herself a believer, a Christ lover, or what? People follow, and before you know it, women will have, you go to a home, and there is a man cave. You're not supposed to step there, by the way. Then there is a woman cave. You know, so children are not supposed to step there. Then what about the children? You know? So I'm like, there's just something not right. So, anyway, for you guys, men who, I'll talk to you about the man cave the next time, if God wills, yeah? As you execute your leadership role, mutukirize in this man cave. Tulabe video. Yeah? Glory to God. So, I also like to share with you two experiences about the things that we read and all the things that we expose ourselves to. This was shared with me by Dr. Magara. It is someone's experience. He talked about the first experience was when he was dealing with a young man who was brought up in a good home. And this young man, now I'm sharing it publicly because it was shared publicly. So this young man was raised in a very good home, like Christian home, a model home. But guess what? The man one time, the young boy goes to him and asks him, to be for prayers. As he starts praying for the boy, for the young man, the young boy starts manifesting demons. Yeah? So very quickly, Dr. Maga realizes, I'm not dealing with what? I'm dealing with something here. So now he asks the demons, how did you enter this? Because he was also like shocked. Like, but how did you enter here? And the demon started saying, because he was reading some book. He was reading a book. There is a certain book he was reading. The things we read, you people. Now, reading is not hardcover like this. Reading is even online. Yeah? The things, Christine talked about online stuff. By the way, they no longer produce things like these. They put them online. And in as much as the hard copies have spirits, even online content has spirits behind it. That is why it's very, very important for you to watch the things you read, okay? You read those things, they'll have a spirit of a domineering spirit. You watch, there is a certain TV show, I think the lady called Judge Judy, yeah? Man, the way the lady talks, she keeps, anyway, someone was telling me that they watched her, and before they knew it, they were starting to talk like her, like when they would be talking to other people. So, you know how Judge Judy talks? She's so domineering and So, then she cancels whatever you're saying. So this person was telling me that, I realized my responses were beginning to be like for Judge Judy. So she stopped what? Watching Judge Judy. The second story that Dr. Magara talked about was, a friend of his, a minister, a Congolese minister, was given a book by someone to read. And this person got the book, took it home, and kept it in the what? In the drawer or in the, like a shelf, the book. And guess what? You parents who are here, yeah? We have to really work on some of these things. The guy goes to sleep at night and then he gets a dream. And in the dream, a dwarf walks into the room. I wish I was like Pastor, because Pastor would give this so much body that you would feel it. The dwarf walks in the room. Yeah? A dwarf like this, yeah? He walks into the room and asks the man, "Did you read the book? Did you read the book? Did you read the book?" In the dream. And the books and the dwarfs and the gentleman, the minister, says, "No, I didn't." You know what the dwarf did? It got up and went and entered right into that book the guy had put at in the shelf. You people, children, watch the things you read. Watch the things you read. Parents, watch the things you read. Because you do not know what you're dealing with. You don't want yourself going somewhere and manifesting demons. Or you don't want your children manifesting demons. If we had women conferences here, I don't want any of you manifesting demons when people are praying for you. And then I also start, "Where did you come from?" "She read some book, she read some book." No, please. Yeah? Watch the things that you read. Some of these things have spirits behind them. And right now, they are on the roll. They're becoming more and more and more. Why? Because the devil wants to distort. And he will use anything. But the devil wants to distort that order. And he knows, hit her. And then her marriage is what? Is gone. There are people I know, the marriages we know, that break up not even because of adultery or infidelity. It's because of this issue of submission and leadership. You may be in church and you may never even look at someone else. But when you fail to submit, when you fail to execute your role as a leader or as a head of the home, that marriage is headed for disaster, just like the one of adultery or infidelity. It can also break. And you don't want that to happen. Glory to God. So let us watch the things that we read. All right? Then the third thing is, of course, consult your husband when you're making decisions. Right? Consult not our mothers, bless them, they wish the best for us. Not our mothers, not our close brothers, not our... Consult your husband. Consult your husband in the decisions that you make. Don't shock the man. Don't shock the man. You know what that means. All right? Of course, you consult God, but also consult your husband in the event that he says, "Don't do it." Hold on a little bit. Hold on a little longer. Take them to the court of what? Appeal to the high court and say, "But this is how I see the issue." And God will give you a way of managing the situation. He knows. All right? So consult your husband. Involve him in the major decisions. Then another thing that we can practice on a daily. Did you know? It's something very simple. Saying thank you. Appreciating your spouses. Now that thank you means different things for everyone. But the bottom line is, say thank you. Yeah? When men do these things, when he comes home, thank him. Let us learn to thank our spouses for the things they don't take them for granted. Nekawa ngakatono nyo. Thank. Glory to God. Thank the man. He has been made. There is just a special need for respect, for appreciation, recognition that men have, that God made them like. They came packaged like that. Packaged like that. And also the instructions were there. Thank. Respect the man. What that means in some homes, if he needs to have a special seat, let him have a special seat, special slippers, as in whatever works for your home that can make the man feel appreciated. Yeah? He shouldn't find a maid, yeah? In his slippers moving. You do those things when he's not there. But the moment, yeah, he comes, please make sure the things are where they're supposed to be. Anyway, show respect. Let him be in the home let him feel like in the home, he is the head. He has a special place. Yeah, and these are tips, by the way, for single people here. If you're not willing to do those things, then maybe marriage is not for you. Amen? Yeah, then the last thing is, there are many. I just chose a few, yeah? The last thing is, brag on him publicly. The men have an ego, and the ego is insatiable. And I don't care if you're a minister, what, eh? The reason why, by the way, some ministers who are men, fall prey. It's because of this ego thing when it's overfunded by many people. That actually shows that men, like it's normal for men to want that, but you see, sometimes it's taken out of context and the church can over the massage, and before you know it, the guy is lost in that. But now in the context of marriage, you should be the one to fan your husband's ego. Thank you for delivering us at church. Yeah, thank you. Like brag on him. You know, let's just be honest. Everyone likes public acknowledgement. Praise the Lord. Even if you look at me with holy, I know. Everyone likes public acknowledgement. And especially men. If you want to test it, look at their statuses. Yeah. Sometimes men post things and you're like, But you see, that is how they are. Yeah? But you as the wife, don't pound your husband, overpound him. No, as in, you know, when whatever he does, even if it's that 5K for onions, yeah? Money for onions, just thank him. We know that you can afford the onions. But if he puts his 5K there, Banange, thank him. Tomorrow you're going to be like, you'll leave 10K. Glory to God. Yes, so thank him. And also, like, kuwana him. Ata tulimba, because now we have to what? Ladies, we have to be honest here. Even as you brag and appreciate your husband, don't what? Don't be a liar. But if he has done something good, appreciate him, even publicly. Glory to God. Yes. So when you get up, when you're given a chance in public, many of you go for weddings, don't just say, I am Joan Tumhaire. In public, my friends, if you're a pastor, Mrs., it's okay. Please, don't even say pastor. Just say, Mrs., it's okay. Where is my husband? He's there. Yeah? Glory to God. In public, yes, I am Mrs., it's okay. Yeah? Glory to God. Yes, so women who are here, don't be there to hire Joan. Yeah? And they have to even remind you, you tick your marital status. You first tick the marital status, then you put your name, then, yeah, you're now. Yeah? Glory to God. Brag on him publicly. If you don't fan his ego, out there, you know, men live a very difficult life sometimes. Out there, the world wants to put them down. So when he comes home, they are going through so many hard things, things are difficult, ministry is not going well. When he gets home, that is his place of safety. Now you shouldn't be the same person now to add on to where the other one stopped. You say, kakati, yegwe, opale pale. No, please, eh? Please, women, yeah? Yeah, you know, then there are those sarcastic comments women make. You know those things, yeah? Let us what? Put them on the side and fan their ego. Glory to God. In a nice way. Amen. And those are some of the ways. There are so many ways. So many. But those are some of the ways I felt we should just talk about. They were random. Eh? They're not even here. They were random, but yes. You understand what I'm saying? Women, that is a way of encouraging a man to take his role. Man, that man will have a bounce, even if in your head you like, ha. But he will have a bounce, eh? Nenga, for you in your heart, you know, gayo no. But okay. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, and gagwewe kachi manya, but they don't even come to tell us counselors. We don't want to know some of those things. Yeah, you just spare your husband and spare us. If we see the guy bouncing for us, we are happy. Those ones, they are happy people in our church. That is what we want to hear. Glory to God. Cover him. Amen.
Don't be there saying, I take a tea. I don't know, man. He didn't even do this. Even the other thing. Even as in, give him that sense of protect him. Just like he protects you. And that man, by the way, you'll see a leader in him. Yeah? Like, there are sometimes when men say things, like he's not even, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But you're like, yeah, glory to God. We all know where that came from, but I'll give you an example. Okay, this is the last example. So, there is a particular couple here, yeah, who, they told us of an experience of how thieves came and attacked their home. And this guy was telling us that he got up and someone did this about a gun. Where is my gun? He shouted. Where is my gun? Where is my gun? So as they were telling us this experience, I looked at my husband because in our home it's a different story. There's a time when thieves would, like, you know, you're sleeping and then you hear about thieves are breaking in. You know what my husband would do? He would go straight to the switch. Ta, 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 lights on and off, on and off. And he would say that for him, he's chasing the thieves away. So now when... So when they told us that story, I told Sam, no, we better couldn't. So you shout, where is my gun? Hey, where is my gun? Don't be there on the socket because so now I'll be there on the socket. Some go. He's like, sure. Then they'll kill me. They can take the car if they want. They can take the car if they want. But in this family, they can take the car if they want. They come here, can even throw the what? Then we are there together in the curtain. Switching on and off, switching on and off. What have you had? Have you had something? No, I haven't had. But in another home, where's my gun? Where's my gun? Where's my So, but at the end of that day, whether it is the socket or the gun, none of our homes are broken into. Glory to God. Amen. And my husband protects us. Hallelujah. Yes, my husband is a perfect protector. Amen. I know other people who stand at their balconies and they also see and they're like, I'm not going there. Maybe let's call the police. Okay. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, men protect their families. Amen. So like I said at the beginning, we are going to take off some time and we pray. Yeah. We are going to pray about the issue of the anti-homosexuality bill that is being challenged in court tomorrow. We have 3 days for that to happening. And also I encourage us now, really on a serious note, take off some time between now and Wednesday to pray about this issue. It concerns all of us. Amen. It concerns all of us, all our children. Amen. And you also know that there are so many single mother households or single parent households. And we know that statistics say that children who turn out to have alternative lifestyles, one of the reasons is because there is a lack of a father figure. All right. And so these are some of the things that we have to pray for even in our free time. Amen. So as the worship team plays the song, let us rise to our feet. All of us are going to pray. Pray in tongues. Pray in English. Yes.
And your awesome majesty.
Father, Lord, we thank you for this nation. Lord, we thank you for our leaders. Father, we thank you for our president. We thank you, Lord God, that you enabled him. You gave him boldness. You gave him bravery, Father, to assent that bill. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, even as he put his signature on that bill, on that policy, Father, Lord God, that was your hand. And there is nothing that will stand against the handwriting of God. Father, Lord God, we pray concerning the issues in court tomorrow, concerning this homosexuality bill. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for each and every judge, each and every lawyer, each and every clerk, the people that will be in attendance. Father, we pray for them. We pray for those that are standing on your side. Lord, let there be a big rift between wickedness and righteousness. Let there be a big gap between wickedness and righteousness. Father, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you'll give them wisdom. Give them boldness, as you did for our president, as you did for him, Father. Lord, give them boldness to stand for your righteousness in this nation, to stand against this perversion in the name of Jesus. We declare right now, with the rest of the body in Kampala, with the rest of the body of Christ in Uganda, that, Lord, our families are for you. Our children are for you. Our marriages are for you. There is no plan of the enemy that will come and distort them through our laws and our policies in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray that you will turn their counsel into foolishness. Father, turn their counsel into foolishness. Counsel them, King of Glory. Cause them to be confused. Cause them to be confused in the name of Jesus, because it was your handwriting, Father. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will keep each and every person who is standing for righteousness in this time. Whoever is going to court, keep them and preserve them against the attacks of the enemy. Keep them in perfect health. Keep them of a sound mind. May they not be easily compromised. In the name of Jesus, give them the grace to say no to compromise. Give them the grace to say no to bribes. Give them the grace to say no to the powers of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we pray that you will help them to stand for you. May they be of integrity, Father. May they keep your word to the end. The people who are standing for your cause concerning this King of Glory, help them not to cower in fear, even when they are being threatened. Help them not to cower in fear. Father, protect them, Lord. Keep them strong. Keep them steady, Father. May they not be shaken, that they may stand for you. They may stand for righteousness in court between 23rd and 25th. Help them, Father, Lord God. Help them, King of Glory. And Father, Lord, we pray for ourselves, King of Glory. We pray for all the wives in this place, for all the young girls and the women in this place. Lord God, help us. Help us to submit to you, to live lives of submission unto you, King of Glory, that we may submit to those you have put over us, Father. Help us, King of Glory, Lord, that we may see and test and realize that indeed your will is good and it is perfect. Father, we thank you. We thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' name we prayed.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.